Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
And I'm Mauricio.
Yeah, we got our good friend Mauricio Leon. Did I say it right?
Mauricio.
And we welcome you to here with us Under the Fig Tree. Glad you could take some time out to hang out with us. We got a really, really fun topic today. I say fun, probably tongue-in-cheek. Mm-hmm. It'd be fun for us, I guess. I don't know.
It'll be fun for us.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. So either way, Bruce, you want to introduce the topic?
We're going to talk today about that wonderful, wonderful term that we find over in Genesis, helpmeet. Helpmeet. And we're going to just chop that up a little bit and kind of see what we come up with. So I guess I'm starting. Am I starting? Here we go.
Yeah.
One of the things I want to say right up front is we're going to try to keep this light, but this can be a controversial subject for some, right? Not that we've never been controversial, Troy, in some of our podcasts. Not us. No,
never.
No, Mauricio, we've never been controversial, but we understand this can be a little controversial with some people because, well, let me say it like this, not even so much controversial as I think the better word is sensitive, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a sensitive area for a lot of people, and might I even say for a lot of our women folk, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to talk about it. I want to say up front, man, as we always say, we're not in the business of hurting people on purpose. We're not in the business of hurting people at all. We're in the business of trying to bring truth from the Word of God, right? And actually talk real talk about some of the things that that we choose to talk about, and actually some of the things that some of you guys have emailed us and said, hey, or talked to us when you've seen us and said, hey, maybe talk about this. So here we go, helpmeet. One of the things I want to say is where marriages are concerned, many times you're having fun. I remember saying this to a couple that we were counseling. I said, you know, before you got married, you was having a lot of fun, weren't you? And they said, yeah, it was so wonderful. I said, so what happened? I said, why did the fun change when it became official? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And we've seen that. We've seen that a lot, man. You're having fun and, oh, it's just lovey-dovey and everything's wonderful. And then, I don't know, you feel the weight of the responsibility. I don't know, but something shifts and fun kind of drains out of the marriage a lot of times when it becomes official. And so starting with that, this is a little different. We'll see how it goes. I wanted to start with a joke. I hope it's funny and I hope it's harmless, but I wanted to make the point about how it starts out being fun for many, and then the fun leaves when it becomes official. Joke, here's my joke. A little boy was asked what the Bible says about marriage, right? And the boy said, I believe the scripture verse is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Oh, Lord. That's not going to endear you to a whole lot of people.
Well, if you didn't like that one, here's another one for you. And then we're going to get into this thing, man. Joke number two. This is different for us. We normally don't do jokes, but we're going to see how this is going to work. The three significant rings in a marriage. Do y'all know the three significant rings? I'll tell you. The engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering.
Nice. Nice.
You're not helping our cause here.
All right. Moving on.
You're not helping
moving
our cause.
Moving on. I wanted to lighten the mood just right up front, man, because I think it's going to be a good conversation. The question that I have, I want to start with this question. What did God mean when he told Adam he would give him a help meet? What does help meet mean? Anybody?
So help meet. And I'll give a very high level definition, and you guys feel free to pile on. But it's going to be a proper fit. Somebody that's suited to, and worthy of corresponding to. I guess it'd probably be better to say suited for.
Okay.
Rather than suited to. I guess both would apply. So when you're looking at the word, it's a helper. It's a helper. So to help do what? Man, we can probably talk about that a little bit more as we go along. But at a very high level, someone who's suited to or suited for and worthy of corresponding.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mauricio, you want to add to that?
Yeah. So I knew a little bit about helpmeet and, you know, just like the basic stuff. But in preparation for this, I kind of dug in a little bit more. And man, I found a lot of controversy specifically around Genesis 2:18, where that word is used.
Okay.
And just the translation really is very controversial. I had no idea like how deep that gets. I was watching and I was reading, you know, reading some articles, and I watched this video of like a, I don't know, he's like a doctor and something. He was explaining how, like, you know, his whole video was a dissertation of how other people who have translated it wrong, and this whole thing. He went into it and he explained why. It was very long and boring, but I endured that for you folks because really, really what I got out of that is that, so he was talking about the Hebrew term azer kinegdo. I think is a, I might butcher that, but point is that it's a two word, it's two words that are translated into help meet. And man, I really like how the first word, the azer, is more of a military term.
Okay.
It's really cool. Because it, you know, that's the one that we translate to helper or aid. And it didn't really come off in other parts of the Bible where we see that. It doesn't really come off as like inferiority or like subjugation or anything like that. It's more like just like a helper, like literally. It's in Psalms 121, 1 and 2. You know, I look up on the hills, where does my help come from? That's exactly what, same word that's in there, that word, azer.
Right.
And so obviously it's not a rank thing, right? Because God is calling himself that word.
Yeah.
And it's like, apparently it's used 21 times in scripture. Mm-hmm. And I looked at all of them, and it's really all about help and aid. Every single time the way it's translated in that way. And it never designates inferiority, which I think was very very clear in all of those examples. The other word, kinegdo, is actually only used once in scripture, and it's in that Genesis. And that's the one that found, like, there's three main translations to that one. Like corresponding to, opposite of, and facing him.
Okay.
And that last one specifically drew my attention because if you have two people, especially at the beginning of creation, right, that are facing each other, they have a whole 360 view and they're covered. If they are facing each other, right, and they're designed to help one another and complete one another, like the work, the like their whole surrounding is covered by each other. And I found that very, just very beautiful in and of itself of what that means.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I know when we look in the passages, Genesis 2 is where it's first used. We'll say some wild stuff, right? We back it up biblically. We do our best to. And I think recently at one of our conferences, I made the statement that man was never meant to be alone, but man was also never meant to be with only God.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that in Genesis 2. Adam was with God every single day. God would come down and speak to Adam every single day. He'd speak with Adam. And God still said, it's not good for you to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he was with God every day, he was still alone. He was still lonely, more or less, because there was nothing like him, so to speak. And so in that, the helpmeet, I think you find value when you understand the term help meet. You don't see it as subjugation, or you shouldn't see it as subjugation because it's a necessary part.
Yeah, right. Where did that come from?
As far as the subjugation?
Yeah, the feeling of so many women, so many wives, you know, they've interpreted this as being less than.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good question. I think it comes from the oppressive nature of mankind. I think that's where it comes from. If you interpret something incorrectly, you interpret it incorrectly, and you start to walk by that, it's kind of like when we look at the Bible, is it a patriarchal system? Yes, it is. Very much so. But does it leave room for women? Of course it does. But if all you do is see that the men run everything and you don't place value in the women, then the women will pick up on that. And in all honesty, they'll push back, which is where we get crazy ideologies like women's liberation and stuff like that. I know that's not going to go over well. Don't really care. You were already liberated. Christ made you free.
I mean,
So,
it went from that women's lib to I mean, all the way to Me Too and beyond, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And
And I think it's because you don't see your value. If you see your value in simply being, okay, here we go. There, we try to avoid this kind of stuff, right? So, in the beginning, when the woman got there, she was called the woman. Actually, that's not true. Adam called her the woman.
That's right.
Okay. When God looked at them both, he said, Adam. When he saw them
That's
both,
right.
in the day that God created them, made he them, he blessed them. He called their name Adam. He looked at both of
Exactly
them,
right.
one person, Adam. That's how marriage is supposed to look, one person. Adam decided to call his the woman, the woman. God said, Adam. Adam says, woman. Perfectly fine, because God gave him the ability to name everything. Perfectly fine. He calls her a woman. It's not until the fall that she gets the name Eve. So in her perfect or ideal state, she was content simply to be the wife. After that, she's labeled by what she can produce. I will call you Eve because you're the mother of all living. So it's not good enough anymore for you just to be. Now you got to do something. And that's the hard part right there. She's
Well,
never
and I'll
going to
tell
do
you this,
enough.
Troy. I for years I've considered that Adam calling Eve, that Eve it was not a complimentary
I
name
don't
that
think it
he
was.
gave her.
I don't think it was.
I don't believe that it was.
I don't think it was.
And some of the studies that I've done, it sends to lend to. It almost sends to lend to. You can almost hear Adam saying, "I'm going to name you Eve because we're now stuck in this filthy living flesh.
Look what you did to us.
Look what you did to us. You birthed us into this filthy. Now it's rotting. This flesh is, it will begin to rot now." You know what I'm saying? I wonder how they felt physically. I bet there was a physical feeling. Imagine the first pain you get.
Oh yeah.
Your ankle starts hurting. You know what I'm saying? For no reason, right?
Yeah, like what is that?
What is that? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. We're, you know what I'm saying? Wait a minute. We're dying now. That's right. Yeah,
Well, I want to
man.
go back. I want to go back to your question, Bruce, real quick.
Sure.
Because there's a thought that I had I wanted to share with you guys too. And it goes really well with that question. Because I think, because you were saying, like, what was the why is it taken as a term of inferiority? You know what I mean? And I think the one of the thoughts that comes up to mind is that when you think of the word help, it's usually referred to as someone who is, like servant in a way. And
Yes.
servants are always seen as
Yeah.
inferior beings.
Yes.
But the thought I want to offer is helpmeet was not an afterthought from God. And I think that's the way we can read that. Helpmeet was never an afterthought. I think it was God's master plan the whole time because of
Sure.
of the design for her. I think it was a master plan the whole time.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
When you
that's
think
good,
about
man.
it and how women are created, she was the last thing created. And so when she got here, everything was already working. Everything was already in place. There was nothing else to be done, really. She was, if Adam was is in an ideal environment, she's in a more ideal environment because there was nothing lacking. With everything that was created, even when God looked at man, he said, "Oh, we're still missing something." You don't realize it. So here you go. Look at Genesis 2:18. He said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him." Comparable, which is really important to understand that she was supposed to be comparable. You go on these dating websites and you try to find somebody who's not necessarily comparable, but you're looking for somebody that you can connect with that's like you almost. You know what I mean? This person, what's the word I'm looking for? Not comparable. What is the word I'm looking for?
Compatible.
Compatible. That's what people look for is compatibility, but that's not what God created the wife for. He created her to be comparable, which is completely different. We could be compatible and like the same things and almost be the same person, but like my good friend, Dr. Tim says, if both of us are the same, then one of us is unnecessary.
That's exactly right, man.
And so,
That's good.
yeah, you're looking for somebody who can push up against you and you can push up against them, not in a bad way. Not in a bad way, but in a way. Think about it this way. If you could hold two boards together, if you stick them straight up in the air, they'll fall over. But if you lean them up against each other, they'll stand. One is pushing up against the other one, and it can help them stand. And I think that's kind of the comparable part. But it says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. And he goes through this whole thing where he starts bringing all these animals. Now, he said, I'm going to create you something comparable, right? And then instead of creating him something comparable, he starts bringing all these animals. And so Adam can look and say, well, that's not it. That's not it. I'll name it, but that's not it. I'll name that one, but that's not it. That's a nice bird. I'll name that. That's not it. That's not it. Well, God, you told me you were going to make me something comparable, and you brought all this stuff to me, and nothing is like me. And I believe that was God's design. I need you to see. I need you to see all this stuff, all this great stuff that I make. I'm going to make something even greater for you, because that was the plan. Like Mauricio said, that was the plan the whole time. None of these things are comparable to you. I'll make you something that's exactly for you. I think that's what woman is. In fact, that's what she is.
I
I
agree.
think the identity issue is a huge issue. I believe the Lord told me this many, many years ago, that Satan has an ancient hatred of women. And I just began to really pay attention, man, and just mutter over that, man, like, wow, that's, he hates everything, right, that's connected to God. So imagine, you know what I'm saying? Imagine him having an even more severe hate, for lack of a better term, for women. Why? And that became my question. Why? Right? And I came up with certain things, and one of the main things, if I could encapsulate it really quickly, is because they're incubators. You give them something, right? And it becomes something else. You buy them a house, they make it a home, right? You give them a seed, they give you children. You know what I'm saying? You buy food, they make you a meal, right? And so they're designed to take in and then incubate and then put it back out, and it's better. And that's one of the points that I wanted to make, man, about, kind of hanging out for a minute on that whole identity thing, man. You know
I
what I'm
like that.
saying? To me, this is why so many women, wonderful, wonderful women of God, and women in general, that are just wonderful creatures, man. They're wonderful people, but they you ever see some women that don't get along with anybody? You know what I'm saying? I mean, they don't. There's women out there that don't. They know. Someone listening and watching this podcast right now, you change jobs, and then it seems like the stuff follows you, sweetheart. It's you, okay? I always say this about issues. You know what I'm saying? When there's issues, 9 out of 10 times, it's you. Get it? Issues, it's you,
I
right?
got you.
It is what it is, man. But I believe that the reason for that is that they're on Satan's, they're in his scope all the time. And it's important for men to understand that. You know what I'm saying? I believe it's extremely important for husbands in particular, you know, to understand that, man, because then you'll go to God and you will. 'Cause I got some things to say, man, about the whole help, you know, helping your man thing, right? And this identity thing. And, you know, and I think marriages could be exponentially better, especially in the body of Christ. Marriages could be exponentially better if just a couple of things were addressed. And I'm willing to try this, y'all. I hope we don't get beat up too badly, right? You know, women have to stop tying their identity to their ability to help their man.
I agree.
Your identity is in Christ.
I agree. 100%.
Your ability to help your man is the grace that God put on you, that the grace that God put in you. But that's not actually your identity. Your identity is as a son of God, as a daughter of Zion, right? And I'm gonna fall on my sword and just, you know, and just put that out there, man. Because if wives tithe their identity, I'll throw a bone and say only, right? If wives only tie their identity to how to their ability to help their man and the feeling of rejection if he doesn't necessarily want or need your help in that particular thing. It's, you know, so many people are stuck there right now. You know what I'm saying? There's so many marriages that are stuck there right now. This feeling of rejection that's almost like a plague. You know what I'm saying? I want to be a little bit funny here. I told my wife, I said, hey, this is what we're going to be talking about. And I'm going to talk about some things, you know what I'm saying, that we have gone through, okay? But I'm going to talk in general terms, okay? So I'll never call your name, right? And I'm not, you know, and I won't put our stuff out there like that. But some of what I'm saying, Robin and I have gone through, just like I'm sure so many other marriages have gone through. I've always been the kind, we didn't float out of heaven, man. Let's talk real straight. Right, so that we can help people if we have the ability to help people. And so some of the things that I'm talking about are things that my wife and I had dealt with. We've been married over 40 years now, and we are in the best place we've ever been in our marriage. I'm grateful to God to be able to say that with 40 plus years under our belt, and I can say it's better now than it's ever been. But it's not because there weren't challenges. It's not because I always said the right thing. It's not because she always heard the thing that I said the way that I actually meant it. You get it? You know what I'm saying? All of those challenges, man. But I do believe that one of the biggest ones is in the sense of being a helper. I believe that there's times when wives will offer help. Oh, this is going to get me in trouble. Wives many times offer help that the husband didn't actually ask for, and that the husband may not need in that particular situation. And if he's brave enough to say, babe, thank you, I appreciate it, I don't really need that right now, or that's not helping, right? I appreciate you, know I love you, but right now that's not really helping me. You know, and then that wife having to deal with that feeling of rejection. You know what I'm saying? I think if we can get some ground on that, and I'm talking not us on this conversation, but marriages, you know, can get some ground on that, man, and just decide, you know what, that's not what he meant. You know what I'm saying? You
Yeah, I
know what,
think
that's not what she meant, you know?
that one's tough, Bruce, because it actually causes the person to understand that they haven't been rejected, only the help was.
No,
So, like to your
exactly.
point, when you
Exactly.
tie your identity to being that help, then that's where that becomes very problematic. Because if you can't
Yes.
decipher between the two, then of course, like you said, you'll feel rejected when he didn't. He never rejected you. He just did not need that help at that time.
One of the
That's a
things
tough
that
one.
one of the things that that I found as well Troy Mauricio is in the past, my wife would say something to me, and I heard it, and I received it, and I'll say, for lack of a better term, I archived it. I didn't need it right at that moment, but I archived it, right? And then a month, 2 months, 6 months later, that will come back up somewhere else, right? And I might say to her, "Hey, I just heard the doctor say something, something, or I just heard, this person say something, 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 something." And only to have her say, "Well, see, I told you that 6 months ago." You know what I'm saying? And I was like, "Oh, yeah, no, that's why I'm bringing it up." You see what I'm saying? To me, I'm acknowledging by bringing it up, but she would hear it as, "Well, you rejected me because I said that 6 months ago, right?" And I'm like, no, that's why I'm bringing it up. You see, so I'm just saying, and thank God, once again, I'm putting myself out there, but it's stuff that we've already gotten past. You know what I'm saying? It's stuff that we've learned, we've grown together, right? But I think it's a big deal with a lot of marriages, man. And I think it comes back to that whole identity issue, and realizing, as you said, Troy, that, okay, if he doesn't need that right now, that's fine. That doesn't mean he doesn't need me.
Correct.
Yeah, I actually believe that identity is a foundational thing for all believers. But for men that we're called to lead our homes, if you're not walking in that identity and knowing what your calling, what your purpose is, I'm gonna say it like this. So when Adam, so in verse 19, chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, we see Adam doing the work that God told him to do, which was, to name the creatures and all that stuff. He was walking in his purpose and his calling. In other words, he had his identity pretty clear. It was only then that God activated the helpmeet. See,
Good
it
point.
would have done him no good for the helpmeet to show up before he was walking in his identity, because that would have just added more confusion and more
Good
problem.
point.
So as men, if you as men don't understand, as a husband, you don't understand what you're calling and what your purpose is, then how can you expect your wife to act correctly? How can you expect her to be a helpmate and have that demand of her if you yourself don't even know what God is calling you to do? So I
Sure.
urge us as men, and I have to remind myself of this as well, because sometimes we walk out of our what our calling is, or we might, forsake it for a bowl of lentils, right? Of lentil soup. And it's our calling to have that clearly, because when that happens, it's gonna us acting in our identity or walking in our identity activates so much in our wives. They see us walking with God closely. It gives them a sense of security. You don't have to say anything sometimes. You just walk and act like a man of God, and they automatically are going to want to submit to you. They're going to want to be like, how do I help you? How do I support you? That because that is a truth that I saw in Genesis 2. When Adam walked in his purpose, then the helpmeet is activated as well.
That's a good point, Mauricio.
It is a good point.
There's a thing in culture now that people just don't like. And it's just the fact that God made roles.
Yeah.
It's just the fact. It's the
Good
truth.
word.
God, he made roles.
Good
There's
word.
a role you're supposed to play as a husband. There's a role that the wife is supposed to play as the woman. Period. It's not my rule. It's not my opinion. This is what God laid out.
Yeah,
Period.
very clearly.
One thing the Bible tells us is to treat our wives as the weaker vessel, but it never says she was the weaker vessel. It just said treat her as that, right? Caring for her and protecting her and all this kind of stuff. And I think sometimes when that has been lorded over people, that you are the weaker. Well, no, the Bible never says she's the weaker vessel. Is that treated that way? Cover her, take care of her, that kind of thing. But there's roles, and when those roles get bent or twisted, that's when the trouble comes in, right? Okay, Adam, because you've hearkened to the voice of your wife. Now, you weren't deceived, but because you hearkened to her voice, because you listened to what she said, because you didn't play your role, now the whole ground is cursed. Yeah. Everything that comes out the ground is, yeah, the whole ground is cursed because of this. And so, because there was a violation of roles. And as much as we don't like this, and I'll be honest with you, some men shy away from their role because they're
Absolutely, man.
intimidated. They're
Absolutely.
intimidated.
I think Mauricio kind of alluded to that a minute ago.
Yeah, they're intimidated and they just don't understand you're still responsible.
You are.
Whether you do it or whether you don't, you're still responsible.
Procrastination sometimes is a thing you use to deal with not wanting to face the reality of your calling. And we're really just going to find ourselves in a little Jonah moment where we're going to be inside of a difficult situation for a season until we recognize, repent, and turn back to doing what God called us to do. Because it's not about whether we want to or not. This is the whole point of us living and breathing on this earth is to serve the kingdom of God. And if you don't want to walk in that, you're going to live a very difficult life because you choose so to do.
I think there are a lot of, to your point, Mauricio, I think there are a lot of husbands that certainly may not know their roles, but I think there are a lot of husbands that know their roles but acquiesce once again to the wife. It's like that whole thing about happy wife, happy life. That foolishness,
That's
I'm
foolish.
gonna say it, that foolishness, right? Because someone is not willing to walk in the role that God has given them, there's no way that you can and actually believe in that statement. You know what I'm saying? So I think in some cases, absolutely, there are men who don't know. I didn't know, 40 plus years ago, I had no idea what I was doing. I asked this woman to marry me. I had no clue what it was, right? And for a season, I followed her lead very strongly, followed her lead. But then the time came when I began to understand what my actual role was, and the gracious thing about it was she didn't stand against me. She didn't push back. She let me come full into that role, and I would imagine was probably really happy, to come for me to come because they're not designed to do it. I think that's part of the weaker vessel deal, Troy.
Correct.
It's when I think weaker vessel, I simply think design. They're not
Which is
designed
perfectly
to do
fine.
it. Perfectly fine. You
Which,
can't
by the
you.
way, that implies if it's weaker, that implies that we are weak as well. We're dealing with a weaker vessel.
Correct.
Well, that's
And
such a good point, man. That's a great point, Mauricio. I
because
was going to
that in
say
itself
earlier.
implies that we need the help, you know?
Well, think about it. Think about it. If in Genesis God says it's not good the man be alone, let's give him a help meet, right? I was going to ask the question earlier, does that mean that God created man broken? Because he no. My answer is no. God didn't create something broken on
No.
purpose, right? He created something beautiful in Adam, right? And then he added to the beauty of his creation, you know what I'm saying? And it just, you know what I'm saying? That's what it was supposed to do, right? But it was already beautiful. God doesn't create broken stuff, right? And so I think it's the same thing though when we come over talking about the weaker vessel over in the New Testament, right? He didn't create a woman that was broken that we needed to, oh, she's so fragile. Oh, yeah, no. I think it goes back to what you said earlier, Troy, about the roles, man. I always think design. Okay, she's listen, I'm a shovel. She's a tablespoon. You could try to do the same job with a tablespoon that you would do with a shovel, right? But good luck with that. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how I see it. God creates men. Men in my, just as an analogy, men are shovels, women are tablespoons, right? You go out and try to dig a 6-foot hole right in the ground with a tablespoon. You see what I'm saying?
It's gonna be tough.
But conversely, try to mix your coffee, stir your coffee with a
Shovel.
shovel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think about design, man, but yeah. Anyway, I like that. I like the conversation.
So I have something written down that I wanted to
Yes, come
share.
on. Come on,
Yeah.
bring it.
It was like, and it goes well with this. It's beautiful. So I wrote down, help meet is not a sideline operator. They are a frontline operator, just like men, but with a different or complementary skill set.
That's
So
good,
like
man.
I think that goes back to understanding our roles, because if you view the role of a woman as of a wife as someone who is meant to stand behind me, and I go in the front line, you are you're misplacing what God, the order that God established. Because God, the way he again, remember we talked about how they're almost like facing each other in that word, connecto, and they're complementary. So they have a skill set. I have understood that if you were to give me general description of a female characteristics, gentle, tender, selfless, loving, and you give me descriptions of men like strong and firm, powerful. You are in both sides. You're describing God. That's why together they both together are the image of God, and that's what we see in Genesis 1 when he describes them, and he says, "Let's make them in our image," right? Because he says them. I realize it's in plural. Because he knew that he was going to create this. That wasn't, like I said earlier, that was his master plan from the beginning. And I just wanted to point out the fact that, that we do have different roles, and the roles are never meant to be one above the other. It's really more about we both are in the front line, and we both have different skill sets, And I don't know much about tactician and battles and military and stuff like that, but I do know that there's different positions in a front line battle. Not everyone does this exact same thing. And that's what would give you a successful tactic to win, And I think God set us up in his design to win from the beginning.
Sure. To win and to reign, man. I believe it was always about dominion. And once again, that's the thing that I see the enemy fighting in marriages, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times it looks like who has dominion in the house or who has dominion in the marriage when it's supposed to be us together having dominion, you know what I'm saying? Over everything and everybody else. And I think that's the deception and the lie that many husbands and wives fall for, right? And so there becomes a spirit of competition between the husband and the wife, and it was never designed to be that. The Bible says when you get married, you become one flesh. You become one. There shouldn't be competition, you know what I'm saying? Because I tell you right now, I as a man, and I think I speak for a lot of men, I don't want to come home. I want to come home to a house of peace. I don't want to come home and have to combat.
Continue there,
I've been in combat all day
Continue the
outside of my
competition.
home, right? I don't want to come home and I
Not at
still
all.
have to deal in combat with my wife. I don't need her to be subservient. I don't need her to be subject. I need her to be one with me. And so that, and I one with her. You know what I'm saying? So that I've told the story many times, man, and it was altogether my fault. 100% my fault, man. And God checked me on it one day. And I've told this many times, I think even several times on the podcast, how when I was very young in this marriage, man, I'd come home battling everything and everybody, right? Trying to conquer stuff. And I'd come home and bring all that energy to the house. And my wife and my children were perfectly fine until I got there. You know what I'm saying? And then the children started acting up and fighting each other and screaming and hollering and and there was so much tension, man. And I'm like, oh man, this is horrible. I don't want this. I don't want. And the Lord sat me down one day and said, "That's you, man. You're bringing that to the house. Let me show you how to release all of that." You know what I'm saying? Before you step into your house. And when he did, everything changed. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a big part of it, man. That idea that
Well, it's
we
part of your
shouldn't
role.
be combating each other. I'm sorry.
It's part of your role.
It's part of the role, man.
It's part of the role that you
Yeah.
have. Thermostat thermometers. Thermostat
Yeah.
and thermometers. You're not a thermometer, you're a thermostat. You're supposed to set the temperature. You're supposed to set the gauge. Whether you want to or not, it's going to
Whether you
happen.
want to or not, you're going to.
Yeah. So, and then everybody follows the lead because that is the design. That's the word you were using before. It is the design, the order. It says that the head of every woman is the man, and the head of the man is Christ, right? And I know that's controversial because now that seems like you're supposed to lord over somebody. But if you look at it the right way, it has nothing to do with that.
It doesn't, man.
No,
It
it
doesn't.
actually puts you in a very good position because not only do you have a man that covers you also have Christ that covers the man that covers you. You are in a great position if you're willing to yield to that. You know
That's
what I mean?
right.
You're in a perfect position. So there's a lot of stuff that would normally hit you that won't hit you because you have at least two layers of protection, you know, there. So you just got to look at it the right way. And I don't think it's taught well without it almost coming across as oppressive, if that makes sense. I don't know that it's taught to the point that that people don't see it as oppressive. But I think part of it being oppressive is the culture in which we live. Because everything seems like if I'm not winning, I'm losing. You know what I mean? If I'm not in front, I'm losing. If not, I'm not on top, I'm losing. And it just seems like that's the mentality of the culture. And that was never supposed. There is an order that God has, but that doesn't mean that you're beneath me.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that. It's just the way God designed this. And there's a role that I'm supposed to play that's supposed to ultimately help you, not hurt you, not oppress you, you know, not make you subjugated or you're beneath me. One of the words that I believe that women seem to not like is that word submit. And you just don't like that word, man. Just don't like that word.
Look, over the years, man, many have taken it, or any word that sounds like it, out of their vows, even standing before the preacher. And we've married a good handful of people over the years, man, and we've never had that happen, but we know of some, that
I
can we
walked away
pull
from
that
one,
out?
Bruce. I walked
Sorry?
away from one. I did.
Because of that?
Because I asked about the traditional vows. Oh yeah, we like those. So I'm running through the traditional vows, and I get to that word submit, and I could see the young lady's face just kind of, and I'm like, "You
Contort.
okay?" And she's like, "I don't know if I like that." I'm like, "So you don't like to submit?" "No, I don't really like that too much. I'd like to take that out." So I closed my tablet. And I said, "Well, I think you guys are gonna have to find somebody else." And
Wow.
she's like, "You're not going." I'm like, "No, because you're already entering into this with the wrong mentality.
That's it, man.
You're going into this wrong, and I can't be a part of that." And so
That's it.
I thanked
When
them for doing it, and I went on home. You
yeah,
know.
when I hear the that part of where it tells women to submit to men as men submit to God,
Correct.
I hear God telling us as men, you have the responsibility because you're in between me and her. You have the responsibility to reflect my love, my sacrifice, my whole character is on you to reflect that to her.
Correct.
And if anything, that is a weight more than like an overlord and like a position of power over a woman. It's really Jesus saying, the way I serve you is by being your the way I rule over you is by being your servant, because that was his example. He was a servant leader. So if anything, God's kingdom is upside down sometimes, and many values that are standard for the world are flipped upside down. So really, in that hierarchy, we put women in a position where we have to love them sacrificially and be the image bearers of Christ to them. So when and I've said this before in other situations, I say, like, when your wife thinks of you and thinks of Jesus, there should be very little that separates you two. And that is the
Of
responsibility
course.
of a man before God. And I just think of that and I just get chills, because it's a weight, but it's what I'm called to do, and I'm empowered to do that, because on top of that, God gave me help me to accomplish that.
She's gonna help you with that. It's funny that you when you say that, Mauricio. Oh man, it makes me remember, the early years of our marriage. We've only been married 27 years. Not quite the 40 plus, but 27 years. And in
You'll get
27
there soon
years,
enough.
oh yeah,
Right.
27 years, we're still figuring things out.
Yeah.
And it's okay. The thing is, we're not pushing against God, at least not purposely. We may find ourselves pushing against, but when we find ourselves in that position, we're like, oh no, I've been doing this wrong, and we're quick to turn it. Like, I'm not going to do that again, right?
Yeah.
And then we keep pushing forward. Again, the Bible never commands my wife to love me. It never commands any wife to love her husband. But it does command the husband to love his wife as Christ has loved the church. And it doesn't need to command her to love the husband, because the way she's wired, if you love her the way Christ has loved the church, she will respond.
That's
No,
right.
absolutely, man. Just because of the way she's wired. Now,
Absolutely.
this Bruce is where I probably lose some people. Okay. There's a consistent love. There's an enduring love. There's a love that leads. There's a love that sanctifies. There's a love that protects. It provides. It guides. It does all this stuff. This is the love. It's the sacrificial love. It's a unconditional love. This is the love that Christ has for his church, right?
Yeah.
And this is the love that the wife is supposed to accept. If you want me to love you like Christ has loved the church, this is the love that you have to accept. But there's a problem here. Because if you accept all that, you also have to accept the disciplinary love.
That's
That's
right.
tough. Because
That's
even
right.
now, if people are listening to this website or this podcast, what they hear when they hear discipline, they hear punishment.
Right.
Yes.
And it's not the same.
Well, that's true too, for God being, for God correcting us. They hear
Correct.
correction and they hear punishment.
They hear
So,
punishment.
you know
And
what I'm
so
saying?
there's a discipline that a husband has for his helpmeet. And I know that sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy. But that discipline, it only takes you from this wide path back to this narrow path. That's all it is. This is the mission that God has us on, and we've kind of gone off a little bit, so let's just come back, and that's all the discipline is.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
all it is. And when I'm
That is
afraid when
all it is.
people
Course
hear that,
correct.
they hear punishment. No, 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 no. Punishment and discipline are two different things. They're completely different things. And so this is the part where a lot of times, the helpmeets get upset. Like, well, I'm not accepting no discipline. Discipline.
Yeah, he's not
Discipline.
my
I
look.
got one daddy.
You ain't my daddy.
I got one daddy.
I
And
got
you're missing the point when you see that. If you expect me to love you like Christ has loved the church, that discipline that Christ has for his church is included in that package. And so you can't cherry pick out of the package and say, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. But no, I don't want that discipline, because it all falls apart without that.
That's right.
So
That
that
is
is
true.
true.
I like that.
No, that's really good, man. I agree 100%. It's the old adage, if you want a woman to respect you, give her something to respect.
Correct.
It's really, in a nutshell, that's really it. You know what I'm saying? You love her lavishly, and and she will respond in kind. If she doesn't, then there's obviously something going on there, you know what I'm saying, that really needs, you know, probably needs God's intervention, right? But we're wired to do that. She's wired to do that. We're wired to do that. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's, you know, I think that's really good.
Yeah. I had one more thing I wrote down that I want to share, and it's is that help me to me is a reminder of the strength in unity rather than the weakness in division. You know, because when God shows us this, the synergy between, and we, you know, we see this with my wife, I see this with my wife, when we are acting both in our strength and we're supporting each other, there's this automatic synergy that happens where we push and our efforts are like exponential. The results are exponential to our efforts when we are working and walking together. And I think, and you see that in how Jesus even says, abide in me and I will abide in you. Mm-hmm. He's asking for that unity. He's saying, telling the church that you live, abide in me and I'm going to abide in you. And this is going to create that perfect unity. And he's telling, man, love your wife as I love the church, the bride. That to me, all that's connected with help meet, right? There's going to be this strength rather than seeing it as a weakness where, oh, you know, I'm just reduced to a helper. It's way larger than that. It's way larger. As a matter of fact, if you think about it and think about, again, the implications, if men needed a helper, then who was really the one that, and if we were looking at inferiority, right, who was the one that really needed, you know, if I need to help, then I'm the one in the position that is lower, if anything, right? But that's not the way God wanted to show that. He wanted to show us that in that unity, there's this beautiful strength. And that's why help meet is so incredibly important for the completion of us to reflect that image of God to people, even just everyone around us, to our children to start with, right? To our community, to our neighbors. That's really the only way you can truly accomplish that is if we know our roles and we find the strength in that unity and the weakness in division, because that is the thing that the devil is going to want to put in between us is that wedge of division. Because if he can get us to really to question, did God really say you're just a helper? Did God really say you have to, you know, show your wife and discipline her? Did God really say, and those little did God really says are in there that they grow into this uncontrollable weed that will destroy your relationship and create that division and therefore create that weakness where you are vulnerable to any kind of attack. But if we are in that, walking in that, in our roles and help meet, and you have the man leading the home and being Christ to his wife, man, like we're unstoppable. And if the enemy would want anything, it's to, and I picture this like a nursery, you know, in the hospital where they have all the babies. If he can have us all as like these sleeping giants in a nursery, mm-hmm. and just have us in that state, that would be his win. But I'm asking us to wake up into our calling as men, to women, wake up to your calling as a helpmeet and respond. And I say this not as a thing that would be reciprocal in the way of if she does it, I'll do it, or if he does it, then I'll do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think helpmeet, that's not how that works.
No.
It was never intended in the way. Remember, no. when Adam was doing his thing, he didn't even know that help was on the way, right? He didn't even know that God was going to create that, what is it called? The Azar, right? The cavalry. He didn't know that. He was just doing what God called him to do. And that came as a result of him walking in God's calling. So I just want to just remind us of that. Like, there is that strength and unity when we walk in God's calling.
So I have a question, and I'm just throwing this out there to kind of see where we go from there. Thinking about Adam and Eve, more specifically, thinking about Eve as a helpmeet, how did she help Adam? Because when we talk about Eve, right, we always talk about Eve being deceived, taking a bite of the fruit, and you know, and then Adam following. Obviously, if you even want to call that help, that was the wrong kind, if you want to call it help at all. But can we see in the Bible how Eve actually played her role as a helpmeet, maybe prior to interacting and eventually being deceived by the serpent. Do we see that? Do we have any examples of what it means? Not what it means, but do we have any examples of her being functioning as a helpmeet in that scripture, in Genesis? Just a thought that I
You have
had.
a hint at
Yeah.
best. There's a hint at best. When she was approached by the serpent, she told him that we're not even supposed to touch the tree nor eat from it. Now, of course, God never said don't touch it. But at some point there the word was given to her, and we would have to, and I hate using this word when it comes to the Bible and the scriptures, we'd have to assume that at some point she was doing the work with Adam. Because at least she knew, I can touch all the rest of these trees. I can do all, my husband is a gardener, you know what I mean? And I'm helping him in this garden, and I'm not supposed to go over there and touch that. So there's a hint there. I don't know if there's anything definitive that I can recall off the top of my head.
Well, and I asked that question specifically, and I'm grateful for that answer because that was what I came up with as well, Troy. But it what it did was it made me think about, once again, we're talking about roles, right? Isn't it interesting that God would say, let's make him a help meet, and then the only interaction that we have, or the primary interaction that's left on record, is not showing us or women what it looks like to be a helpmeet. It only focuses on her deception and their fall. Here's where I'm going with this, right? The thought came in there and it's tick, 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 tick. It's hit, tick, 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 right? Is her being a helpmeet? I think somebody said it earlier and we just kept on going. What if her being a helpmeet is just simply her being her being there?
It's quite possible. And I
You
think it's
see what I'm saying? We
more
keep
likely
looking
probable.
at, go ahead.
It's more likely probable.
We keep, well, because we keep looking at it from the standpoint of her doing something or saying something or suggesting something to the man as the help. But if we go back to what God said, it is not good
To
that
be alone.
man be what?
Alone.
Alone. And then he says, let's make a help meet for him. Are y'all following me?
Oh, I got you.
He connects Adam being alone and says, let's give him, and for whatever reason, he decides to call her a helper. But the help was, it appears to me, y'all, I'm throwing this out there for us to discuss. If you don't see it that way, tell me. Let's because that's the only way we're going to help each other and help people listening and watching. It seems to me that the primary role of a godly helpmeet is to simply be there for her husband. She doesn't have to be, there's no subservient, there's no subservient nature, right? There's no big I's, little U's. There is the comfort of knowing that as I deal with all these animals and name all these animals and keep the garden and do all these things, that I have somebody who strengthens me simply by being there. She strengthens
Can I?
me, you know what I'm saying? By just, by, I can look over and she's right there with me. Oh man, I can go on, man. Oh yeah, I can do this all day. You know what I'm saying? I can do this all day.
Can I add something to that? Because I think there, you
Sure.
really got something good there. So being there, I think, is is great because, but if you think about it, he took, God took Adam's rib, right? He made Eve out of his rib. So she was technically there, but she became present when God created her in the physical form. So I think beyond just being there, but being present in your husband's life, that it might be as simple as that. Being present, understanding what are the struggles that we're going to say that we are facing, because if your man is facing it,
Absolutely.
you're facing it too, right? And if
Absolutely.
she's facing something, we're facing it too, because she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh now.
Absolutely.
So I think the what I'm trying to allude to here is that, there's even in bones, there's nerve endings, and there's blood vessels that go on there, and those things communicate back to the main body, right? So women will remain connected to us and being present to us, and our suffering will be one. That's why it even says that in 25 or in 24, it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And I think if we think about that, I don't have to ask, my leg to be present with the rest of my body, because it knows that when I start moving, it's going to walk in the direction that I go. It's present. It knows it's connected, is what I'm trying to say. It's connected. It's plugged in. And that's what I mean by being present. And I really, if we think, go beyond that, just you can really look at it that way too, right? Like God is just, maybe her purpose, you're right. It's just to be there, but be there present. Be
It's
there
just
connected.
interesting to me, man, because we weren't left with a lot of definition. We weren't left with a lot of
Yeah. Not a
examples.
lot of context there. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We just weren't left, and I just got to thinking about it, And I don't say that I'm right. It's just something that I got to thinking about, man. And I got to thinking about it even from, once again, when I used the example earlier, being out of my house and feeling like I'm fighting, I got to fight everything. And for me, it always felt like I'm fighting to get back home. You know what I'm saying? I'm trudging through the day, but in my mind and in my heart, I want to be home. I'm fighting to get back home. I'm fighting traffic to get back home. I'm fighting, people on the job that won't do their job and expect me to do their job, but I don't get their pay. You know what I'm saying? I'm fighting bad supervisors and managers and, you know what I'm saying? And you're just fighting, you're going through all of this stuff because you're made for it. I'm talking primarily about the man. I know that there's a lot of women in the workforce now and that's a whole other dynamic that we might need to talk about one day. But yeah, that's you gave better words than I could have, Mauricio. That's exactly what I was talking about, being present, man. You walk in the house, or let me go back a step. Even while you're out there doing what you're doing and you call your wife, man, and or you're texting each other throughout the day, right? And there's that presence. She's present. You know what I'm saying? How's your day going? One of the things I had to learn was to actually share. She wanted to know how my day was going. You know what I'm saying? And so you start pulling on the strengths that God has put in your life by that woman simply being there for you, to your point. Simply being there for you. And I think that has somehow just gotten Troy, Mauricio, all kinds of twisted into some really weird stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? Where a lot, some women, not all, okay, I'm gonna flip it on y'all for a minute if I can, okay? And let me just flip it for a minute because I think it's important that it be said, man. You know what I'm saying? I love my wife. I love women. I was raised by a bunch of women. You know what I'm saying? I have five older sisters. You know what I'm saying? My mom, plus aunts and uncles. And so I have a wonderful love and respect for women in general that was instilled in me, not only through the women in my life, but through other men and so on and so forth, right? And good examples of men that I've known in my life, man, that really were good husbands and fathers and such, right? But I think it's important that we look at both sides of it. One of the things that I think is happening with some wives is, and I'll give you an example. Imagine Troy or Mauricio. Imagine this dude. He comes home and he says to his wife, "You know, I'm thinking about doing such and such. ABC 1 2 3." He says to his wife, "I'm thinking about doing it," right? And she doesn't recognize that he's making an announcement that he's about to make a decision, right? And so he's making an announcement that he's about to make a decision, and he's open to her feedback. But she sees it as he's asking for permission. She sees it as, "Don't you dare make a decision without me being in that decision process." You get what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
And I think it's important that we talk about and look at both sides of the whole thing, man, because there are a lot of people out there, man, that just they just they're showing up. They won't leave, but they don't like where they are. They're tired of doing it. I want to talk real straight, man, because it's the only reason to have this podcast. It's the only reason for us to do what we do. There's a lot of people out there that got that allowed whatever and whomever. Sometimes I heard somebody say it like this: sometimes you got to get all them people out of your bedroom. Get them out your bed. You got to get mama out your bed. You got to get Aunt Essie out your bed. You got to get Uncle Jim out your bed, who said, "Boy, you just got to whip her every now and then." You know what I'm saying? You got to beat her. You got to get all them people out of your bed, man. And y'all learn how to go before God together and learn together all of what we've already talked about, the roles and all of that stuff, so that there's not the mistake of thinking that when he says, "I'm thinking about doing such and such and such and such," and she takes it as he's asking my permission. And it's not something that I like, so I'm going to say no. And if he does it, then that means he doesn't love me. That means he doesn't respect me. That means he, you know what I'm saying? That's not what this thing is supposed to be, man.
No, there's roles, and it's big. As much as people don't want to hear this, when it comes down to it, God didn't say, "Adam, where are y'all?" Said, "Adam, where are you?" And I understand that in the beginning they were both called Adam, and that's fine. But then when he starts running down the list, he hits the serpent first, he hits the woman next, and then he tells the man, "Because you listened to your wife. Because you did." So he made a distinction because of role. I'm not saying that you just make decisions like a tyrant in your home. That's not what I'm
No,
saying. That's
neither
not
am I.
the design either. The Bible tells us you take into consideration the voice of your wife, the wisdom that she has. But at the end of the day, you as the man, you have to make a decision.
You have to.
You have to make a decision,
And you got to be okay with that,
and
man.
you
You know what
have
I'm
to be
saying?
okay with it. And if the decision, this is a lesson that people need to know, not just as men, not just as women, but all of us in the body need to understand this. That which is done not in faith is sin. That's what the Bible says. If it's done not in faith, it's sin. The thing to that, even though it says that, we still have to understand that God is merciful. And if you make a poor decision, but you make that poor decision chasing after him in faith, he's merciful and he's good enough to help you clean up the mess. Because he knew you were chasing after him in faith. And so that should help not to make you paralyzed by fear in making a decision. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the weight, the design, that's the word that you use, Bruce, the design of the man to make that decision. And the design of the man is to carry the results of that
The
decision,
weight of
good,
the
bad, or
results.
indifferent. You know, the consequence is good, bad, or indifferent. You know, it comes back to you. And so it's no good to shun that responsibility and put it on the vessel that wasn't created for that. That's not good to do. What you have to do, all of us men, she's there to help. She's there to help, which if women can see that as the helpmeet, you can do generally, you can do what he does, but without the responsibility. That becomes very dangerous, right? See, I got the ability, but not the responsibility.
Yeah, man.
In general, I can do what he does. In general, I can make the decision. You know what I mean? But I'm not responsible for the decision. It'll still be him. So you, this is where you come in and help. Have you looked at it from this angle? Have you thought about this? Because Bruce, Mauricio, you guys know we don't see things the way women see them, and that point of view is valid, and it's necessary because they're going to see something we don't see. To your point, Mauricio, when we're facing each other, I can't see what's behind me. He can, and she can't see what's behind her, but I can. There's things I'm going to be able to see that she can't. There's things she's going to be able to see that I can't. And somehow we have to use that combined vision together to walk out what God has called us to do.
I love that. That's great.
So, yeah, Bruce, I'm going to tell you, I don't think we lost as many people as I thought we would. I don't feel like we did. At least I hope not. At least I hope not. But this is very pertinent to the body. The women, the helpmeet, find your value in Christ. If nothing else, think about it this way. Out of the dust of the ground, he created all these animals and stuff like that. And out of the dust of the ground, he created man. But he created you from the rib of the man. So I'm made of dirt and you're not. You know what I mean? All of us are dirt. The men, we're dirt to some extent. We're dirt, but you're not. You know,
Let
you
me
were created
say that
out of it.
better. I'm made of dirt, you're made of me.
There you go. That's
You know what
the
I'm
way you
saying?
look at it. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm made of dirt, you're made of me.
You can find value in that God looked at you and said, I'm going to put you in a finished environment. In a finished environment, this is good for the woman. This is work for the man. Because if things are out of order in the house, that's not the environment in which it's conducive for the helpmeet. And so as men, we have to have order. When things are not in order, she's not in the environment in which she was created.
That's right.
You have to have order. You have to maintain order.
That's
Not
right.
your
That's
own
right,
order,
man.
but the order that God has already designed. And if
So
you do that with him, a lot
when the
easier.
serpent comes talking to you, she got to go, Adam, somebody at
I
the
hear
door. Somebody's at the door, Adam.
you.
Get your club, whatever. You know what I'm
I don't
saying?
know what you would use to
Get
defend
your,
back
somebody's at the
then.
door, Adam. Go handle it.
It's good stuff,
Hey,
man. I hope
I
this
think
helps.
that's good.
Yeah, I hope it helps. Mauricio, it's always good to have you with us, man. We gotta have
Thank
you on
you
more
guys.
often.
Thank you guys for having me.
A
We
whole
got to
lot
have
more
you on
often.
more often, man. I would love
Just
it. I
once
would
a
love nothing
season is
more.
not good enough, I think more people will want to hear from the Leon.
There we go. Hey, and I think we have to do a shout out to our wives, and if anything, because I know without a doubt that all three of our wives either prayed for us, are praying for us,
Absolutely.
and then we're just as involved in this moment than as we were. So,
Yep.
a shout out to all the wives for doing what they do. We're grateful for all of you.
Awesome.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Absolutely.
That's going to give me some extra points, Mauricio. Appreciate that, man.
It is. Thank
Troy
you
told
for
me to
that,
say
man.
that,
Thank you
honestly.
for that.
I'm Troy.
I'm Mauricio.
And I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for spending your time with us here under the Fig Tree.